Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Ty Jones along with Dean Geronimo, and you're listening to Blog Talk Radio. It's a Monday afternoon, and I'm feeling fine. How about yourself?
It's another day. What's going on with you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right. The whole gang's here. We got Mark Lee, too.
What's up?
Not much, bro. What's going on?
What's up?
Just
what's up, guys?
You know, got a little storm that they say is going to be flying through North Carolina, so we're just taking it easy and chilling.
Right. Nothing going on with you.
Eventful weekend. I got to witness the ladies of Delta Sigma Theta along with your brothers and several other in a step show. They have a show called Stomp the Island here in Hawaii. So we went to the show and it was pretty entertaining, actually. Just refreshing to see people come out for a good event. And who won? Oh my gosh. I'm trying to say who won. AKAs came in second place. 5-8 Sigma, they actually won. They placed. 5-8 Sigma won.
So
yeah,
they did
a really good job. Yeah.
So how active is the Greek life in Hawaii?
Pretty active as far as the gatherings and supporting. The one thing I do like is that they all support one another. It's not like
right.
a separate thing. Everyone is very supportive of each other's sorority
as
or fraternity.
Should be.
So that's pretty good. Yeah, so that's pretty good to see. I really did enjoy myself. So I have to ask a question because over the weekend, too, I was at home and I was watching this documentary that came on. The young man's name is Kareem. He is an ex-Rikers inmate who was beaten in jail and he committed suicide. Right.
Khalif Browder.
So did you get to read? Right. The story is pretty sad. And it's just another prime example of a person that economically you don't have it, wrongly accused of a crime, which was very ludicrous to, you know, what, stealing a book bag was the crime? Stealing a book bag. Then he gets placed in solitary confinement. Then they force the young man to take, a drug, which is what really caused his mental illness. And then upon his release, he was wrongly accused. He's released. And so he's just given a train ticket and like, okay, you can go. You know what I mean? Like, so it's kind of like, hush, hush, don't say anything. You know, we won't say nothing. You don't say nothing until like he decided to speak up and say something about it. But during the whole time of this, what I noticed is he's just another man in the system that, because of that medication, it seemed it just really messed up his mind and his life, you know? And no justice was served, you know? No justice was served. He was just in a very, very dark place. Any comments about that?
Well, not really. I mean, the system was never designed for us. So when you look at something and say it's an outrage, I mean, that's always been that way ever since the slave patrols. The system was not ever designed for us. So when we get treated less than as parts of the system, you know, one thing that if you have anything in your history, that bolsters their argument. Yeah, you stole that egg. You've been in trouble before. You get in trouble quite frequently. Now you got something on you, even if it may be a lie. You know what I mean?
Right.
Then they're like, all right, well, you know what? Take this punishment here. We're going to give this plea deal. And if you don't take the plea, trust me, you know, a lot of people are like, we're going to go to trial. Well, you plan on staying there for much longer because the plea is out, unfortunately. The plea is the out. 3 years versus taking it to trial and getting 30 years. You know, and if you watch the Ava DuVernay documentary 13, it explains that.
Mm-hmm.
It explains that. Like, even guilt, let's just say, in his case, he didn't do it. He suffered for 3 years, but that's the wait. But that's the wait before you go to court. Yeah, it says you have a right to a speedy trial, but remember the rules were not designed for you. So speedy for us takes 2 to 3 years. Speedy for the others takes 2 to 3 weeks or months. So,
and the
sad
part is that is his family could not raise $3,000. They were unable to raise $3,000 to help him. He wound up staying in there for 400 days in solitary confinement at that. You know, like, you're in solitary, like, that right there would drive anybody crazy to be placed in solitary confinement for 400 days. And they have video footage showing how he was abused in there. So, I don't know. I know that this is something that, you know, some, it goes on, and I know you are in enforcement, Dean, so you've probably seen numerous accounts of different things. It's just sad that we are in 2017, and stories like this are still happening in the world that we live in.
2017 is not, if you count years from slavery, I count 398, right? But if you count from, and actually tomorrow will be, what, 39 years to the day that Martin Luther King was assassinated. We 39 years from people really saying, all right, you know what? Let's 49. Wait, 49. I'm sorry. 49, not 39. 49 years. We're less than 50 years out from being treated less than, I mean, in public, it was accepted. That was a way of life for them and a fight for us. So, I mean, if it were 2117, yeah, I can understand. But we ain't that far removed. So that means the people that were a part of the oppression, they still living.
Mm-hmm.
And they still passing it on to the next generation and the next generation. You know.
Yeah, but one of the other things that the movie 13 brought up, which I found interesting because I did watch that movie, the fact that we also are dealing with not just the fact they're already corrupt and probably need to be gone through, and I know you work in that field, but probably need to go through a major overhaul. But look, think about how many corporations are involved in the prisons and everything.
Oh,
that's one of the things that brought up. Because we're in the age of for-profit prisons. So, I mean, they are run as a corporation. They are run by corporations. So they are run by corporations as corporations. So that just adds even more to the what's going on in terms of the injustice and the ways that the prison system is tilted against certain classes and minorities and things of that nature, because it's a way for them to make a profit.
Well, because they have always used us as a money maker. A lot of people say slavery is about hate. It wasn't about hate. It was about greed. The more money that they can make, the more slaves I have, the more product I can put out, the more money I can make. That ended. They found another way and just did it in reverse. I get these companies that make money off of having people locked up. And, you know, in some states it's $50,000, $60,000 per offender. So now multiply that by 20,000. got a nice piece of change right there. You know?
Yep.
Uh oh, we got somebody calling in, y'all.
Ooh, I told Elizabeth to call.
Yep, that's who it is.
Yeah, this is Elizabeth.
Well,
hello, Elizabeth. Yeah. Welcome to the show.
I've just been listening a lot. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, great. I've been listening intently. I think it's interesting what you were saying about how we've monetized prisons so much, so that it's really in a corporate interest to keep people locked up.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed,
it
is. And they know that, you know, that's why the rules of parole is still, for many, it's not a right, it's a privilege. So they have the right to say, you know what, the four of us that are on the phone could have committed the same crime, the same way, the same day. And let's just say the three of you follow all the rules and regulations, you program and you do everything you're supposed to do. And I'm the hellraiser. I'm going to add seg, I'm flooding my cell, I'm giving everybody a hard time. Guess who gets the date? You all would get denied, you know, someplace called a parole hit where you have to stay a little longer before you see the panel again. They'll give me a parole date. But it's based on one thing, not to get rid of me. They know that more than likely I'm going to go out, reoffend, and come back. So now it becomes job security for some. State makes more money. And meanwhile, I'm rotting in prison, still doing the same thing. So now I've spent probably a total of 25 years in prison, in and out. I lost 25 years of my life when I could have been doing something else productive. But my mind is saying, you know what? Every time you put me in there, I'm going to learn how to make your life worse. Instead of them really focusing on, you know what? We need these guys to program and get their GED if they don't have it, and to take other courses, to think a little differently so that when they get out, they do things to stay out. Now, there are some of us, you know, that work in this field that say, hey, look, we don't need you here. We really don't want you here. But you were here, so now what? You know, what's next? I can't keep holding that cloud over top of your head. You did it. You got caught. You came here. Now, we have to think of a plan that gets you back out to your children, to your families and loved ones, so that, you know, you don't come back this way. Because for everyone that leaves, there are four or five that take their place. It is a never-ending cycle. And it's like the funeral home
business.
That's true. You know, somebody's always going to pass away.
Yeah.
It's like the healthcare field. Somebody's always going to get sick. Unfortunately, somebody will always come to prison.
But look,
yeah, it's a business.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mark. Go ahead, Mark. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. North Carolina had an interesting case, and I'm really curious to see how Dateline handles the coverage of that, because they're actually going to do something on Friday. But I don't know if you remember, but during the time you were here, there was that whole Peterson case, Michael Peterson, who was accused and convicted of killing his wife and kept saying that he didn't do it, even though there was similar incidences that happened in Germany, and now he's finally out after having made a plea arrangement. So, there are some folks that are saying, did he actually do it? Did he not actually do it? I personally think he did, but that's just my opinion. But it'll be interesting to see, because there are folks that also think that part of the reason that he got a hard time was because of his prominence in the community, because he was a columnist and a person who was actually very well known in this area. So I'm really curious to see how the national media covers that, because I just learned that's going to be airing on this coming Friday. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, and also how it plays out in his life now that he's apparently cleared for good from now after making this plea arrangement deal, basically serving for time served, basically completing time served, and now he's done after having been in prison for multiple years now. So it'll be interesting to see what happens now that he's out. I mean, the first thing that I've noticed is he's already in the topic of Dateline, and that release was just happened within the last week or two. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out.
So there seems to be, and this is on another note, but it seems to be sometimes going or getting incarcerated can be a rehabilitation and a life-changing event. For example, Leonardo DiCaprio portrayed an interesting character in the movie Catch Me If You Can, where he actually, you know, mastered the knack of bouncing of check fraud to the point to where he, at the end, made a plea with the Fed to work alongside of them. He did his time and then worked with them and pretty much rehabilitated his life working with them, catching bigger thieves that are trying to do check fraud. So there seems to be, you can actually master a crime and work alongside, work with them. I don't know. This world is an interesting place that we live in. So it's interesting. There's other stories. I mean, even Denzel Washington portrayed an American Gangster. He did the same thing. He became a master of his trade. And he will also work with the Fed. So it's just an interesting life we live in. So I'm going to change subjects and see if you guys have heard of this. But I was watching this interesting show. It's called Naked and Afraid. Have you ever heard of it?
What's the show called?
Naked and Afraid.
What in the hell?
So,
yeah, never heard.
Yeah, so they take two people and they place you in, they'll put you in a pretty much an island or the wilderness or somewhere, and they put you there for 19 days and you're given like two pieces of equipment to survive. It could be like a fire starter or a machete, or, you know, a satchel. And they just stick you out there, and then you have to survive with the camera crew watching, of course. But they give you no food, no water. You have to build your own, you know, place to sleep. Bugs are biting your behind. These people only get paid $5,000 to do the challenge.
$5,000. Wait a minute. $5,000 to get butt naked, bugs on your balls, nothing to eat.
Yeah.
And he's just out there, yo, I'm setting the whole woods on fire.
So basically, it's survivor extreme.
And everyone who's done the show ends up losing weight. So, it's called Naked and Afraid. It's on the Discovery Network. They're given, you know, certain. One woman left the show and was hospitalized for becoming severely sick after the show. But they do this show. Like, I watch it every weekend, and it's just surprising to see two people, a man and a woman. You don't know each other. You're butt naked.
I'm butt naked
two
with
people.
I'm butt naked on an island with a woman that I don't know. Oh, man, no.
Yeah, that you don't know. No. But you're not even thinking, like, you're not even thinking sexual, because
I ain't
got to
think sexual. I'm butt-ass naked in front of somebody. No. Hell no. If I know you, that's different.
After a few days of not eating, that's when it really sets in. Like, the hunger sets in. You know, these people, I see them catching snakes.
He's looking,
you know,
at her
frog,
leg, like
whatever.
Her toes look right juicy right now. I'm just gonna cut them off and eat them.
It just really teaches you survival skills. So I was wondering,
you know,
had anyone seen a show like that?
That teaches you not to go in the woods with your balls hanging out. You just might get bit.
I'm still trying to figure out the monetary reward. Like, at least survive an Amazing Race. You go for like $1 million or something like that. I mean, only one person gonna walk away with it. But you said $5,000.
Yo, I'd rather go on Love and Hip Hop, you know, after the third time you show up, then you start getting paid. So, I mean, it's safer. You know
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, all you get for your participation is $5,000.
Dope theme prices.
Yeah,
come
those yeah. That's pretty much it, you know, for the entirety of your starving, risking your life, and you should the bug bites on some of the people's body. And one person, I think they look like they were losing it, so they had to get off quickly, I think. And then one guy, he got deserted twice because each time the girl tried to stay on the island with him, she couldn't do it. So he was forced to be by himself because the two females that tried, they couldn't hang. They couldn't do it. So
it's an interesting show. Check it out. It's on Discovery. On Discovery Channel, and it's called Naked and Afraid.
It's called Fool's Cheat. That's what it's called.
There's another one out there, which is individuals just met and they get married. That's another one, Married at First Sight.
Are you serious?
So, yeah, I'm serious.
So what if the person is not? You meet and you don't get to see each other until you get married?
Yeah, until the day of marriage.
Oh,
so,
no.
So, yeah, these are different tactics that reality shows doing. It's just very interesting with the way the world is changing nowadays.
Yeah.
Like, you do anything,
for
I guess, for recognition.
Well, no,
yeah,
Ted DiBiase said it. The Million Dollar Man, when I used to watch wrestling, he said everybody has a price. Obviously, their prices are very low.
Very low.
Exactly.
I understand even like some of the brain game shows, you might not win it if they go, you get them just a little bit. I mean, we had somebody in Germany went on Jeopardy and, you know, they got all the way to the end and lost it. They walked away with like $1,000 or $2,000. And so basically, the cost of the trip. But there was no risk of anything. It was a brain teaser, right? Like I said,
right.
At the end of the day,
that's just
which is
like,
ironic.
Like Ice Cube. Now, I'm not going to discredit the show. I like the show. It seems pretty cool, but it seems like everybody's a winner. So he just came out with Hip Hop Squares. Has anyone catched that yet? Ice Cube is the creator of.
But I've seen the ads for it.
Right. So it seems pretty cool, but everyone comes out a winner as far as, so there's two contestants, the celebrities, you know, they're competing against each other. The loser, so the first round, whoever wins the round, even the loser, they get to keep the money that they made. So
that's
nice. You know, so it's like a, right, you know, that's what I mean. Like, so, oh, okay, so you didn't win, and the person goes on to the next round to double their money. But if you did $1,300, that person gets to keep the $1,300. And then at the end of the show, right, and then at the end of the show, they do like a fast break type of thing where they have to keep pushing the button for the lights to illuminate around the squares to come up with like tic-tac-toe. So, but everybody seems to win. No one like has ever hit the button to where it missed, you know, three in a row. So I'm like, okay, no one ever loses on this show. So if you want to win some money, go on that show. Be a contestant on that show. You're bound to win something.
Either that or go on the wall. I don't think anybody's hardly lost on the wall yet. The LeBron James show.
Right, that's another
like
interesting show.
Big version of Plinko.
Yeah. I've actually seen that show. That's a pretty interesting show, too. Yeah. So, these are just interesting tidbits and topics. Anything interesting, you, Mark, you always have something interesting going on or something to say.
Well, that's, I mean, we're definitely, we've got interesting things happening here in Durham area. We've got Full Plan coming up this weekend, so I know a lot of people will be coming into the area to check out Full Plan, which is our version of Sundance, but it's like the documentary world version as well, because these are documentarians that come from all over the world, actually. So they'll be descending on Durham on the 6th, which is Thursday, and they'll be here through Sunday. And I actually need to get a copy of our paper and see what our schedule is looking like, because I know I'll definitely try to catch some of the films, but they usually touch on world issues and things of that nature, so I got some big events that's happening here in Durham, so looking forward to that and checking out at least a couple of those films that will be going on. And then, of course, later on in the month, we've got, as we talked about before, later on in the month of April will be the Art of Cool Jazz Festival, so that will be featuring, as I told you before, George Clinton and Rakim and Poppin, so they'll all descend on Durham. And so they'll start ready to jump as it usually does in the spring with all kinds of fun activities that bring people not just from this area but from around the world and even around the nation. So that's definitely going to be exciting to see those events coming our way. And one of the other things I was wondering, that it was a question of curiosity for me, because I was watching the news earlier today, and one of the things that was going on, it was a little bit on the scary side, so I'm actually interested to see was how your husband is dealing with this, because y'all are on the West Coast. I mean, the whole world has to deal with this, but y'all are on the West Coast and over there by Hawaii. And last time we had an attack on the U.S. prior to 9/11 was Pearl Harbor. And they're talking about this fool from North Korea is already, you know, making noise that he's thinking about launching an attack as far as the U.S., if not launching it on the South Korea and the other allies of ours on the Pacific Rim. So, your husband being in the military, I was wondering whether there was any kind of tension that they're starting to feel even on the basis of this possibility. So where they were talking, it was seeming, according to the news, that it was a imminent threat and a possibility that could happen any time this year.
Well, I noticed he said, like, they've upped the ante with the U.S. surveillance satellites. Due to that, I know that they've also upped the ante with security at the post coming through the gates of the bases when we go on base. I've noticed that too. So that's pretty much what I've noticed here because of that.
Gotcha. Because I don't know if you noticed, one of the things that's slightly taking time to feel on that whole military thing, but I actually stumbled across a movie that I probably should have known it when it came out, but or maybe paid attention to the news when it came out, but that might be one of my periods of life when I wasn't paying as much attention to the news as I do now. And sometimes you go through periods of life where you'll take a slowdown period. But I was actually stumbled across this movie called Princess and the Marine. I don't know if y'all are familiar with this movie, but apparently there was a military gentleman that was stationed in the country of Iran in the Middle East. This was like right before 9/11, I believe. And he married this princess. She was like, he was 24, she was 19. And of course, you know, me, I had to study after the fact to see what happened after they got married. So they did get married after he carted her all the way to the U.S. And he was a Mormon, so he carted her all the way to the U.S. She was Muslim, moved her to Vegas. They got married. The marriage lasted for 5 years. And then they got divorced. And last I heard, she has become very much of a human rights activist and is still very much involved in human rights activities and things of that nature, more in her own country, but also she's done some stuff worldwide. I think she's spoken in different parts of the world and also been active in fighting against human rights violations in other parts of the world as well. What happened to him? Who knows? I haven't found anybody that seems to know the answer to that, but I do know he got outed out of the military, but whatever became of his life, I know Mormons, as a general rule, have to do missionary work, so I assume that's what he's doing 10, 15 years later, but I really have no clue. So I'm curious to find out if any of our listeners out there know. Please let me know. You know, inquiring minds want to know. Curious minds want to know. I'm just curious. I know she's become an activist. What became of the military, Marine, and his two buddies? So they seem to be just, I even Wikipedia them. No answers.
Interesting. No, I don't have any comments on that. I do know that Trump has been lately pretty active with keeping or making connections with China, and saying somewhat negative things about China in regards to the North Korean nuclear threat, as if China does not help bring pressure to bear on I can't pronounce the word, but it's PYONG, YANG, Donald Trump says that he, that, how do you say it?
Poontang.
Yeah, that word. So he's prepared to step in if China does nothing. So Mr. Trump has been deeply critical of China, especially its trade policy. However, he said he hoped that would not stand in the way of a deal being reached at the summit with the U.S. president. So any comments on that?
Wait a minute. This is
Trump is a critic. To me, he's a hypocrite.
Oh, that's what you're saying, but he's a total hypocrite, because this is the same president that's going to speak about human rights violations, but he's going to invite Egypt in, and they, part of the reason Obama didn't deal with Egypt was because of their human rights violations, and he's going to send his son off to Iraq ahead of the Secretary of State, because apparently his son's got way too much influence. I mean, we talked about some nepotism going on in the White House these days, because he's sending his son off to trips to, like, wherever he feels like going.
I mean, he's there now.
Yeah.
Son-in-law.
I mean, we'll see what happens and what comes up. But he did do that is what decent. He donated salary since taking office in January. Park Service. It's about $78,000. All right, let's see if you do this. If you do this every quarter, can the veterans get something? You know, can you the VA do something worthwhile while you're over there picking with everybody else and sending, you know, the unknown over there to who has no knowledge of nothing? You know what I mean? Let's see what else you do. It's like, on one hand, he's doing crazy stuff, and on the other hand, he's doing some decent stuff. Don't really know still how to take this dude. I wouldn't trust him in my. I had to run the door. Now, you got to go too. But at the same time, let's just see.
I mean, since in presidency, have you noticed any proper changes going on, for example, with the world or with relations with other countries or anything that's become better since he's been in office? Any word on that? I don't notice a change. I notice constant controversy, and the man loves to stay on Twitter, which is ridiculous. I've never seen man
he's
in office.
He's taking more L's in 2 months than the last three presidents in their entire presidency's time. That's his outlet, because when you don't know shit, you just, you know, you bump your guns a lot. I mean, think about it. He really is not. Never was a politician. He's a position that,
right.
You know, he's in a position where there's a lot of stuff coming at him real swift and real fast, but it's going to allow him to humble himself to say, hey, look, you know what? I need to learn everything I can from everybody I can and try to get everybody to work together. It's like, now you focus on these things. Russia, which I'm tired of hearing about, because we got too much going on over here to be worried about whether the election. In fact, why are you worried about all of this stuff? You won. Shut the fuck up and help this country. I mean, no disrespect. But at the same time, I'm tired of hearing about Russia. I'm tired of hearing about his daughter and his son-in-law getting jobs. We knew that was coming. One thing people do very well, look out for their own. So it doesn't surprise me. The only thing that I hope is we don't all of a sudden just get bombed out of nowhere because you might have been a Twitter beef with somebody, you know what I mean? And next thing you know, here we are going to war fighting for some unknown ignorance. That would be detrimental for us. But as far as any direct changes, I haven't seen anything yet. We're still talking about the same thing. I mean, you want to say Barack, tap your phone line. All right, if you tap, watch what you say, idiot. I mean, damn. Whatever.
Not only that, but I mean, one thing business people will do, and that's what I'm seeing even among the Republican administration, which we have now, it's across the board with the Republican administration, is that they'll change the rules. So what are they going to do? Look, if they didn't like the Supreme Court judge that Obama put in. So now they realize that they don't have the votes to get their Supreme Court judge into office, and they want them in by Saturday. But now they're like, no, we're not going to, we're going to do the nuclear option, and we're just going to change the rules. Look, yeah, the rules have been this way for up 10 years, but we don't like them, so we're going to make up some new rules.
Well, I just know it's an interesting. Where is Obama? Like, it's so interesting that ever since he's no longer in office, I hear nothing of him.
Would you hear anything?
He's like just falling off the grid.
All the hell and all the bullshit he got. He was the president. I'm gone. I'm out. I'm going to take my presidential salary and ride off into the success.
Any type of news or any. I mean, I have not. He's just fallen way, way under the radar.
That's right. He
we hear nothing
years
of.
To. Are you serious? No.
I think I found one picture. You think he'll resurface?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think that'll be the case for a while. I think basically what Obama did, which is a smart move, it's probably the smartest move of any president we've ever had, is that I agree with what Dean said. He got a lot of flack and a lot of everything else. But in terms of the leadership of the Democratic Party, I eventually believe that he's going to be the leadership force. So I think that right now he's just chilling, and there have been a couple of pictures that I've seen where he's been in different, like, island areas, just chilling and taking some chill time, and I don't blame him for that after that crazy and everything. But I do think that probably within, I would say by the summertime, maybe no later than the fall, we will start seeing him speak out more on different issues and different things, because there's a kind of a void in the Democratic Party as to where the leadership is going to come from. So I have a funny feeling that he's going to be the one that steps into that void.
We need some type of change. I mean, we need change. We definitely do. It's just an air in America that it's just not the same, you know? It just doesn't feel the same. It's just like everybody's all, I don't know, it's just not the same. You know, when he was in office, it's like there was a unity among America. There was just certain things were more relevant. Nowadays, it's like we have a silly leader, silly decisions, and barking off, you know, certain things, and people are in dissension because they're against this man. So whatever he says, we go against. Which there's
we basically went
from
hope to
despair right now.
Yeah, like I said, we went from hope to despair. If you remember, Obama's whole symbol of his first election was about hope, like, you know, hope and promise and things of that nature. And we have totally gone on the opposite end. I mean, I know people that have actually avoided watching the news because they don't even want to see Trump's face. And they don't want to do that. And there's even folks out there that I know that are like, have the Rip Van Winkle attitude. They're like, look, they're hoping that they wake up that this was all a nightmare and that it didn't really happen. But then reality sets in and they know that it did happen. So then they're like, I'm not going to watch the news. I'm not trying to see what this man is saying. I'm really not trying to read my Twitter feed because he's probably going to pop up on that.
I guess we just have to ride out this term and pray that he's not reelected. Hopefully we'll get another person that's bold enough that wants to go up against him. Maybe Hillary will try a second time. Who knows? But I guess we just got to ride out these 4 years and see how it goes. It just seems like everybody's out for self right now, you know, to each his own. It's making us stronger as a unit to just say, hey, irregardless, you still have to man home. Home is most important right now. You got to mind your family and do what's necessary to maintain and survive in these times we're living in.
That's very true. There's no doubt about that, man. It'll be interesting to see how people react to it. And who knows, maybe somebody will come along and they'll find an offensible something that's so offensive that he actually winds up getting an impeach. Who knows? Every time I turn around, something else is happening.
That would be great.
No, just think of the 25th Amendment. That'll be better.
That would be great.
If it was a way for them to invoke the 25th Amendment, which strips him of all presidential powers, whatnot, that would be better. Remember, we had...
that would be great.
Didn't Clinton get impeached? He didn't go nowhere until his term was up. Like,
that's true.
It's almost saying, you're guilty of this crime. We're going to convict you, but we give you no jail time or no consequences other than a little asterisk that said during your term you were impeached. Nixon resigned before they impeached him. But
Clinton
was like, man, I ain't going nowhere. What y'all going to do? You're going to leave me in here until I'm done. And then when I'm done, I'm going to go make more money on the public speaking circuit. So it is what it is.
He's going to make money in the public speaking circuit. And you know well, like I know, that he is making business deals as president even as we're speaking.
No doubt.
I'm going to place this. I'm going to put this link. It's called Impeach Trump Now. ImpeachDonaldTrumpNow.org. So you can sign up to impeach Donald Trump now. Says from the moment he's assumed the office, President Donald Trump has been in direct violation of the U.S. Constitution. The president is not above the law. We will allow President Trump to profit from the presidency at the expense of our democracy. So it gives you some information to input your name, email, city, state, and zip, and submit and add your name calling for the impeachment of President Donald J. Trump for violating the U.S. Constitution. As of 7:15, April 3rd, the signers and counting have joined the campaign to impeach Trump. So there are different vessels that people are using to, I guess, to try to pretty much quicken the process and see if they can get Trump impeached. That would be something. That would be history in the making if we are able to do that.
That would be an interesting thing to be able to pull that off, but we'll have to see. I remember, I think it was it might have been Reagan, but there was actually a clock that was like a backwards clock that counted how many days it was until the end of the term, and I'm sure there's going to be those kind of clocks if they're not already out that'll be for Trump. It's like, umpteen days, umpteen hours left in the presidency, assuming that they take it all the way to the end, to the, whatever that last day is of their office, but I do remember that. I want to say it was under Reagan where there was like this backwards clock because I actually had it.
I posted that on the Voice of the People, which was a petition for individuals to sign up for impeaching the president. So it's posted on the Voice of the People. You can go there and visit it. It's also posted on my page. So that would be interesting. Those have been my thoughts because he's definitely not a man of valor.
Why are you hating on the hopeless?
Because he's a coward.
Why
is he hating
on the hopeless?
Because he's a bully. That's what bullies do. That's like barking, like, if he doesn't like a certain company, restaurant, or something, he gets it shut down. He will go on Twitter, and do whatever to shut a certain corporation, company. That he's done it already. I mean, that's abusing your power, in my opinion. It's not really right, but hey, I guess when you're rich and powerful, you can do stuff like that.
You know what? In
you
fact,
can do stuff like that, but every once in a while, it'll bite you in the backside.
It's pretty
you don't
much
believe
saying,
that,
man. Set your broke ass up because you can't do nothing.
But you know what? Here's the thing.
What?
If anyone has a comment that they want to talk about right now, we are on a tangerine time here at the Voice of the People. Host Todd Jones, host Mark Lee. I am Dean Geronimo. Give us a call at 646-668-8393. Join the conversation. We appreciate Elizabeth for calling in. And, we're here right now. Line is open, so hit us up.
Yeah. Lines are open. This is the Breakfast Club. Nope. The Voice of the People, yes. I have to admit, lately I have been tuning in to the Breakfast Club. I love that crew. They're pretty entertaining to be up at 4 in the morning.
Wow.
And Charlamagne the God is very interesting. And shout out, big shout out to Revolt TV, because that's where I watch it. And pretty entertaining, I have to say. They're definitely are very vocal at voicing their opinion. And they've had a lot of interesting views on the president. None of them very positive. But who does have anything positive to say about Trump right now?
Well, the last time I checked, and I didn't look this week, but Trump's approval rating was somewhere like in the 38% or 35% area. So, no, a lot of the country, even some of those that voted for him, were sitting there going like, what was I thinking when I voted for this man? Because even some of those that were promised certain things, that they're already seeing that those things are not happening, or they're losing certain things that they thought they were going to get versus losing. And they're already like having second thoughts. But, you know, unfortunately, the election, once you do that vote, you don't get a do-over. So they've got to cope with it until the next time around.
You say it is what it is, Jack.
But one of the things that you were talking about, how people of power don't always get the payback, but that's not always the case, because if you've been watching the news, Fox News and even Bill O'Reilly, apparently they've been, you know, trying to have their cake and eat it too, because they have all that power with Fox and everything, but apparently they were also trying to step to a couple of young ladies, and the young ladies are like, hey, wait a minute, just because I got this job don't mean I want to be abused by you. So I think in both cases they've been filed against them, and of course they're taking the Bill Cosby offense. I did not do it, and those women made it up. But, you know, too many people come out with those kind of accusations. You got to kind of wonder, did they make it up, or were they really telling the truth on y'all? And y'all just need to take a chill pill with that power of yours.
Oh boy, I don't know, man. Some stranger things have been going on. In fact, that's about to come back out too. Speaking of Stranger Things. Isn't Stranger Things 2 about to come out? Season 2 on Netflix?
Well, it's about to come back out
soon. I haven't
seen that. It was supposed to. Dang. I'm going to try to find it real quick. But shout out to my fellow Trojan, Rob Morgan. You know,
My
man, reprise his role as Officer Powell on season 2. You'll find it on Netflix. Also, on Friday, The Get Down returns to Netflix, season 2 of that. So, Netflix is getting it in right now.
Speaking of Virginia, but not y'all's school. I wish I could have good news for your school, but just the state of Virginia. I got to give a big shout out, and we're going to change it just a little bit of sports here. I got to give a big shout out to Dawn Staley, who brought her team that championship yesterday. I did watch that game and everything, and since she couldn't get it as a player, I'm glad she got it as a coach.
Indeed, and you know, they got it on the news up here to Temple, so, you know, they loving her right now. She did things, so congrats to them. And the men's championship game is tonight.
Yep,
a lot of people pulling for UNC.
The
spirit of Dean Smith is with them, and Gonzaga is pulling to win their first ever national championship. Big shout out to my hometown fan, Frank III, the Associated Press of the Year. So, you know, they're doing some things right now.
Oh, yeah, definitely doing some things. Now, one of the things that came out, and I'm just curious what you think about this, and Ty might even have some opinions on this one. Now, when Dawn was going for this championship, and in the Final Four, I believe it was the coach of Connecticut that brought it up, and a couple other coaches brought it up, there was this whole question of, can a woman coach a man's basketball team? And so,
hell yeah.
And that's what I said. I said, hell yeah. They got the skill, they can coach them. But, you know, there were some coaches out there talking about, like, that they can't do it. They don't have – there's still some of that sexist talk going out there. And I'm like, look, if they got the skill set, I think the dog would have no problem coaching a couple of man teams and would do a good job of it. But there was definitely some folks out there that were already starting to spout that sexist talk that, no, they can't do it.
I think a lot of times.
Mississippi, they beat a defeated UConn, correct? So
that is correct.
My question to you guys, where in the hell are y'all getting these women from? There's a one chick on Mississippi. She's 6'7". She's 6'7". Like, my goodness. Some of these, they're like just giant. giants. Like,
hey,
I want a DNA test to make sure she's a woman.
See,
that's a
go.
Big chick.
Why does it have to be like that? Why can't she just be a female
that's
getting her ball? You know what?
If
she wasn't a female,
during the entire press conference, they didn't question. You know, they didn't show her at all. They questioned the rest of the females, but they didn't talk to her at all. You notice that?
Well,
she wasn't talked to. She was. Why is that? Is she like their secret weapon?
Maybe I mean, you know, she might have the she might be like Marshawn Lynch. I'm just here so I don't get fined, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Let my skills be heard on the court. I ain't got all that talk for y'all and talk about what we're gonna do and what we wanna do. Until I get on the court and I'm gonna show you what I can do. If you can't respect it, just don't. But you know what I'm saying, like,
well, there's the other sister that she's, what is she? She plays for Phoenix, Brittany Griner. She's 6'8", but at least she looks like a woman. You know, like, she looks like a female. Like, you know, that's all I'm saying. Like, there's some.
You know what?
But I digress. I'll fall back. But I did get to see that show. I will stop hating. That's just, I'm still waiting. I know this is old news, but I'm still waiting to hear Nicki Minaj clap back to Remy Ma. Whatever happened to that? See what I mean?
What? That was.
Whatever happened to that?
Shut up.
No, say it. Speak your mind. You didn't like Remy? Did you like Remy's Ether?
The actual song, I really, she's done better freestyles than what
it?
She did way better freestyles than she did on that. You know, and Nicki ain't going to respond. She ain't got nothing to respond with. I mean, it's like giving somebody a water gun and a AK-47. Who's going to win that fight? You know what I mean? The record companies are pushing Nicki Minaj. The record companies are pushing everything you hear on the radio now that makes money. To me, the age of the MC and the battle rhymes and all of that, in this, it's going to have to be on a mixtape. It's going to have to be on something pushed not by a major label because, number one, they never understood it. And number two, it's not the way they want you to push it so that they can make money off of you. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. But I guess in the whole spirit of battle rapping, she just proved to not be a battle rapper. That's what it proved. Like, you're not a battle rapper. She did the same thing a few years back when she came after Little Kim, and Kim annihilated her. What it did.
She's
like,
not,
she came back
see,
with that ba-
when you're a rapper, rappers do that. A rapper is going to put something out and then whichever way you respond, all right, that's it. Because it's a difference in being a rapper and having that MC spirit. You know what I mean? Like, she doesn't live hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
She just makes
she
records.
She doesn't live hip hop, you say? She just
correct.
Makes records. So
when you just make
you
records,
feel...
you really don't care. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But I want to come back to the battle rap thing.
So, yes.
I've always been wondering about that. Because you have to be a battle. Can a regular rapper, the most regular rappers are battle rappers. I mean, it comes kind of even comes down to like slam poets. Because you know, I'm into the whole slam poet theme because of what we got going on. And just around the community. And I know for a fact that not every poet is a slam poet. Because there's some poets that are real good and real good at what they do. But they will admit, I do not do slam poetry because that's a whole different mindset.
Right.
I mean, this is like case in point. You know, there's a show that comes on Lifetime. Jermaine Dupri has these young children competing for a chance at getting on his label. So the latest episode was battle rapping. And then they had a crew of MCs that they are just strictly battle rappers. Like, that's what they do. Like, this is their profession. They are strictly into battle rapping. One dude was like, I'm major disrespectful. I'm coming after you, your mom. You know, it was just refreshing to see that that art is still being carried on. You know what I mean? Like, the art of battle rapping does still exist, that people are still very taking pride in lyrics to go. Like, lyrics are still respected. Because nowadays, I just put a post up on my Instagram page, and I know I was kind of making fun, but the post was me saying, I appreciate that I was between the ages of 14 to 20 years old, living, breathing, existing, digesting true hip-hop, because what you have now is trash. And I got, you know, a few likes for that, but I say that because do you listen to some of the stuff out lately? I don't even understand what the hell they're saying. Like, it's like they're mumbling. Like, they're just mumbling. Do you ever listen to some of the stuff? The beat is good. Okay, the beat is good. And then I ask some young people, like, oh, well, I'm just listening to the beat. Okay. So, I don't know.
So you guys say that the beat is the place, the words.
The beats are what's hot nowadays. It's like, is the beat. And some people, like, they just sing it or humming a tune. Like, a lot of these young boys, like, what the heck is that song, Bad and Bougie? What the hell is he even talking about in that song? My chick is bad, and I don't know. I don't understand some of the things that are coming out of some people's mouths. I appreciate lyrics. I appreciate a person that's a lyricist. I can understand your rhyme. You're a wordster. You know, you have a good flow. Like, I can actually hear everything you're articulating. To me, I respect that. I respect the Nas and the Mos Def and even Jay-Z and others. I don't even understand what Future be saying half the time. Like, I need subtitles for him. I don't get it. That's just me. That's my opinion. I'm sticking to it.
Stop listening to stuff that you don't understand or you don't like. Support the stuff that you know what it is and get it in. You know what I mean? I'm just saying,
but
I can't just.
Curiosity
I can't,
will lead you to listen
nah,
to the.
Curiosity
okay, so I
don't
have Apple.
Lead me to nothing, because if you don't have somebody that, like back in the day, if nobody said, "Yo, dog, listen to this. Or check this MC out. Check this one out. Yo, I'm not just gonna see somebody's name and say, let's see what this is. Hell no. You might. That's like going into a restaurant and say, whatever you fix, I'ma eat. And then they bring you like liver and squash. Nah, man.
No.
Now, the one thing that I don't have to disagree with you on, Dean, is that you do have to have a little bit of curiosity now in the modern day of music, because unfortunately, as we've stated before on this show many times over the years we've been doing this, is that there is a little bit of not enough originality on our radio airwaves. So sometimes you got to have a little bit of curiosity in order to find some of the new stuff, because sometimes they're
stuck on
doing the same stuff all over again.
But when you go digging, if you dig at the top, you're going to find all the stuff Todd just talked about. I don't understand what they're saying. You know, it all sounds the same.
I don't understand.
Literally the same. So you got to dig deeper. When you start digging below the surface, that's when you find all the good stuff, whether it be hip-hop, R&B,
right.
Jazz, you know, any
like,
of that.
Do you know those young men, what are they called, Black Beatles? Have you ever heard of them?
Nope.
I know you heard of them, Dean.
No, I haven't. I'm a hip-hop head, so, you know, outside of hip-hop, R&B, and jazz, if it ain't something that I heard, boy,
they're hip-hop. That's
man.
A sad thing. They're hip-hop. They're young,
no. Don't confuse hip-hop
with dreadlocks.
Wait a minute. Do they rhyme or are they rapping?
They sound to me like they're singing. They call Black Beatles, and they have this song called That Girl Is a Real Cloud Pleaser. You ever heard that song? That Girl Is a Real Crowd Pleaser. And I think, what's his
radio?
Name? Gucci Man or, yeah, that song gets a lot of airplay.
That's why I don't listen to radio. I don't listen to any radio.
You can look them up. They have a Wikipedia page. Black Beatles, they're considered hip hop and trap. The song was released in 2016.
See,
Gucci Man is on that song with them, and it's like a trance type sound.
He's not my flavor either, so that's why I never heard of it.
Yeah, if
but
you look
people,
them up, they're two young boys. Yeah. I don't know. Like the song itself is kind of catchy.
If it's not in the vein of the boom bap hip hop that we went to school on, if it can't
see, that's
make
the
my
thing.
Head
they not,
nod,
ooh, that's what I mean.
See,
like they're doing the same stuff like Drake, that singing shit. You know, like how you like his, what you used to call me on my cell phone, and he's singing. Like they doing stuff like that. That's the gist of their song is like his, that singing to a hip hop beat, and that's still considered rap.
If y'all check out the jazz group, it actually blends jazz and rap called Black Violin.
No, I haven't heard that. But I would be more inclined to give that a listen because
that's
it has
right.
jazz
yeah.
and the hip hop infused,
yeah.
just like all of them. J Dilla beats, the Uma, Slum Village, Tribe Called Quest. It's
yeah.
in that vein right there.
Yeah.
So I'm more inclined to listen
right.
to that. Trap music is not my thing, so I can't really, you know.
Yeah.
I let
no,
somebody
and
else like.
I agree
you
with
know
you.
What I mean.
I agree with you because when I listened to Tribe's latest album, I loved it. You know, they had, and it was infused with a lot of jazz. I mean, a lot
right.
of jazz. But they've always been a group that has been a forerunner for infusing jazz, acid jazz with their hip hop. I love them for that. Even like Guru and he was one that did that. Heavy D did that. Several of them infused jazz with the hip hop, but I mean that's where it derived from. I'm just saying we're living in a different era nowadays where
but
you know trance, trap, all that
no,
stuff. I don't know.
No, I tolerate that era. I don't live in it. I live in hip hop. So for me, like I said, that. If it can't make my head nod, because first I listen to
right.
a beat, and then, you know, Ninth Wonder, DJ Premier, Pete Rock, J Dilla, Just Blaze,
exactly.
Hot,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
those, I know my head's going to nod. Crisis, Amp, E. Jones, Cash,
yeah.
Eric G. My head's going to knock, so I'm more inclined to listen to it. If it's just some dude that made a song, all right, I ain't mad at you for making a song. It's just not my place. You know what I mean? I equate it
well,
to...
Well, that's just like some of these young people, Gucci Mane and all them, like, some of their stuff, I don't know what the hell they be talking about, but it's popular.
you give it a chance. Like, I'm like, they're not my flavor, so I'm going to stay away. I leave it alone. I can't say it's trash because I ain't bothered to listen to it. I deal with what I like.
Are we biased? Are we biased, those that come from the 90s era of hip hop, or New Yorkers, or coming from East Coast? Are we more biased to music as opposed to West Coast, or listening to Southern hip hop? Do you find us being biased?
It depends on what it is, because Outkast was that group. You know what I mean? Straight from the South. 8 Ball and MJG. TJ Quick, one of the best producers out here from the West Coast, and a lot of people sleep on Quick. You know, so for me, if you're hip-hop, doesn't matter where you're from. Some people are pigeonholing to a certain part of the country. But if you're hip-hop, it doesn't matter where you're from. Because if you get in there and you got people nodding their head and loving your music, I mean really loving your music, not just listening to it on the radio, then you are a part of the group. That, yes, I am biased towards those individuals, no matter where they're from. You know, your head's going to nod. If Snoop is a record, you're going to nod your head.
Drop Dr. Dre. When Dr. Dre came out, when N.W.A. came out, they definitely was a different sound. But I have to admit, they raised awareness and my attention for East Coast, because I wasn't listening to much East Coast hip hop until N.W.A. I have to say, Dr. Dre was phenomenal, and his sound, Snoop's sound, they made me want to acknowledge certain East Coast.
I mean, it didn't make me want to acknowledge it. It made me appreciate that hip hop was coming more than just one place. You know what I mean? Compton's Most Wanted with MC8 and them, you know.
But the funny thing is, the regionalism is not nothing new, not even just in the world of hip hop as a music, because that's where it's been played out lately, the whole West Coast versus Dirty South versus East Coast. But regionalism has been going on in all forms of music. I mean, even if you want to go all the way back over to Europe with classical music, one version of classical music was not the same as another based on which part of the world they were in. And the same with jazz and blues. I mean, I can name 6 different forms of blues that are all from different regions. I mean, Southern Soul is not West Coast. Southern Soul is actually closer to R&B, but West Coast Jump has definitely got like a little bit more of a jazzy feel. But that's been going on for decades.
Well,
they give me, you know, it is real hip hop music. I'm biased, I guess I would say, towards that.
Right.
When you hear it, you know, you already nod your head. You're like, damn, what's that right there? All right. Boom. And it didn't matter what part of the country they came from. I grew up in Virginia. We listened to everything. You know what I mean? But as I got older, there's certain things that I prefer not to listen to. And then there are things that I listen to all the time. With the new, you know, what my son listens to, not my flavor. You know what I mean? But that's him. I can't tell him he's whack, because he's going to look at me and say, your EPMD is trash. You know, and then, you know, it's just a difference. Our parents told us that hip-hop was noise. A lot of people thought that it wasn't going to last past the 70s, you know, when they first, Sugar Hill, Curtis Blow, Funky 4 Plus One, Afrika Bambaataa, they said, you know, this will not last. Now it's going on 44 years old. So, you know,
and people said the same thing about rock when it came out in like the 50s.
Right. It wasn't their flavor, but we weren't trying to do the mashed potato and the busta either. You know what I mean? So each generation had their flavor. I just love mine.
Very true. Well said. I have to agree. Well, guys, I think we should wrap this up and adjourn with each other next Monday. I'm going to see if I get a guest for next Monday. See if I come up with a guest. Something fun. Like when we had Nakima with the pillow talk, which Gene said that was straight nasty, but I thought it was great talking about love, sex, and intimacy. I thought that was pretty interesting to have someone that was just outspoken and open and honest with her sexuality and was very comfortable to talk about it. She answered some really good questions, and we did get some good crowd participation, some curious female callers when it came to certain sexual topics that some people are kind of afraid to talk about. So I'm going to see if I can find, round someone up.
And I've already talked to a couple of the political activists, and a couple of them have expressed interest for April and May, so I'll see if one of them are able to come on in the next week or two, because the one thing we've been touched on, which is now there, people are still not happy, but HB2 was repealed, so now we're going to see if we get the basketball and everything else to come back to the state of North Carolina that said they weren't, but even those that won the victory, now they're like, but we didn't get everything we wanted, because you can't satisfy some people.
Yeah, we can have some sports talk, too. I know the gentleman that we had from the Bronx, I'll reach out to him again, too. He was pretty fun. He came and announced different news when it came to sports. Let me see if I dig in the crates and see who I can come up with. So, final thoughts for this week. I would have to say, we have an appreciation for so many things, and as you hear, our opinions are very different, but we all share same common goals when it comes to respect of persons and respect of one another's opinions. So I think that's to be said across the board, is just respecting one another's for your opinion, even if you don't agree with it. Same time, same place next week. Always a pleasure, and definitely call in, leave your comments on the Voice of the People page, and we'll be back next week. This is Ty Jones along with Dean Geronimo and Mark Lee. Take it away, Mark.
As Ty said, we are always looking forward to hearing from other people's voices and not just our own. And, of course, there are always various opinions out there, and we are very anxious to hear what those opinions are on the various topics of what's happening in the world, because we live in a very interesting world. It's always got interesting things happening in it, and we're interested in sharing with the world our opinions on what's happening, but also hearing what you have to say as well. And now I'm going to let Steve take it away.
Well, you know what?
Yeah,
I'll keep it short,
because
I want to roll out with my sis' new song. It came out a couple of weeks ago. But as far as what I have to say, just remember, you cannot climb the ladder of success or get an assist up with your hands in your pocket or by your side, all right? So with that, it's the Voice of the People, ladies and gentlemen. Ty Jones, the host, co-host Mark Lee. I am the sixth man, Dean Geronimo. Right now, I'm going to take you out with a song by Heather Victoria. It's called Dream On, and be on the lookout for Black Girl. The EP will be out soon. Jamla's the squad. Rock Nation's the family. The rest is the future, and here it is.
Like a schoolboy, didn't mind. telling lies like a decoy. I should have known you won't shit from the first lie. I let it slide cause you had a good alibi. You're kind of slick, yeah, you had me for a little while. But after time passed, everything turned sour. You showed your ass, all the fake start coming out. You had a baby on me, thought I won't go for it. You better dream on. You better dream on. Like a motherfucking A-car. I caught the spade, now you wanna do is throw shade. But I'm a grown ass woman, ain't got time to play. Somebody tell me what's good, what's the deal here? You wanna do shit out the pocket, think I'm staying here. Yeah, you can go ahead, slick, have your little fun. But when you lay your head at night, you better dream on.
Dream on.
Dream on.
People, y'all, we'll see y'all next week.